When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
We're your dog. Sweeties.
Hey everyone, I'm Wah.
And I'm Chris, and welcome to DocuSweeties.
We're two longtime friends who discuss the riveting and sometimes trashy world of reality, TV, and docuseries.
Yes, but through our own lens, which is, you know, sick, it's healthy, it's mental, it's physical, it's up, it's down, but at the end of the day, hopefully mildly sweet. Hi, I sound gross. It's me, Chris. I have a post-nasal drip, just like Adelaide from Adelaide's Lament and Guys and Dolls. Hi.
Hello. She doesn't sound terrible at all. You don't sound terrible at all.
I can hear. It's so funny. Really? Because in my mind, I can hear the swollenness of my head.
In my mind, I can hear the swollenness of
my head. When I hear my voice in my mind, it sounds swollen. Like, my throat sounds swollen. Like, you know that sick voice people have? Like, I feel
that.
It feels like my, throat is like, I don't know. But if you hear nothing, then you don't really care about me and you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, great. Well, that's one way to think about it.
So
right now we're talking.
I'm in a fun bad mood. Like the kind of bad mood when you're sick and you don't feel good.
So right now we're talking 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After, Season 8, Episode 6. Itsy Bitsy Liar. When up the water spout. Mm-hmm. Down came the rain. I don't know. But yeah. So how are you feeling? You already said that. How you're feeling.
Yeah.
Great.
How
do you feel about this episode? That's what I wanted to say.
Oh, boy, bad episode. You know, really bad episode. I mean, to the point where the only thing that was interesting is Nicole and Mahmoud. And so they know that. And so we're going to have it be the first 5 minutes and the last 5 minutes, and nothing really happens except people just, you know,
continue to accost this man
until whenever.
Two days into his time in this country. I mean, it is interesting. And also the sound of his name is being said. That's just the terrible way people are saying his name is so upsetting to me. I've heard everything from Mahmoud to Mahmoud. Lots of in the Mahmoud. It is very upsetting. I was more upset at that. I wanted him to be like, can everyone just stop saying my name? It's Mahmoud. Mahmoud. Or as the gays call him, Miss Mood. Anything but Mac Mood or Mock Mood. There's no C or K in it. I was just really upset. Mm-hmm. So we pick up where we left off, where he has kind of walked away from Nicole because she has called him like a little fucking man or liar or something. And he goes outside to have his coveted cigarette.
This man. Angela Deem, you know,
oh
like,
God, yeah,
they need him. They need him, honey. Her in that airport and him outside, you know, like, can't get the nicotine fast enough.
So disgusting. And then
the kids are back. You know, smoking is back in like the craziest way. Like I went like 10 years without smelling any tobacco and like the streets, of course, marijuana, but no tobacco in the streets of these California. And now it's everywhere. I mean, once these girlies went back and were like, we're smoking, like people can't stand. It's like, it's hilarious to me because I'm like, is it timed with Ozempic and like the like skinny look back? Like it feels like cigarette skinny, Diet Coke. Like, is it all coming back? You know, I'm not quite sure.
Oh my gosh. What a time that folks were in. Now, I guess I would say that people smoke here. I'm in the Midwest. So a lot of things that are kind of gone away in certain places in this country are still very much alive here. Like still very much putting sour cream in everything you can, from pasta dishes to baked goods. Still very much like Jell-O molds at every party. Lots of cheese, just lots of like just regular ass Wisconsin cheese, cheese curds, like many, many different types of cheese. And definitely the smokers, there are a lot of smokers in our smoking section at my job. It's a whole situation here. So I don't know notice the difference because I'm smelling cigarette smoke as if it's 1998.
So is Julian, because he for some reason decides to really stick his whole body into this situation. I think what Julian does a bunch of things in this. So obviously Nicole brings all her dumb friends back to ridicule him, and then to sort of like, what she gets mad at is she wants all her friends to come back and then they to be the jury as she goes, Mahmoud, I was allowed to go, I should have been able to wear this backless shirt. They all said that, she wanted to have a jury try their case, and she wanted to try him in that apartment, right? But he comes back, but when they come back and she's like, well, why wouldn't you come to dinner? He doesn't feel the need to allow all of these people he doesn't know to be in on like what is a very awkward and devastating part of him. And he's like, oh, I just was tired. Obviously, the man is also exhausted. When we see him, he's like half asleep. Like all of her friends walk into this house and they don't feel bad for Nicole. They start to feel bad for Mahmoud. Mahmoud. I'm saying Mah, but it sounds like, I don't know if you can hear. I don't know. But I'm saying Mah, you know, anyway, God bless. So the Ukrainian lady is like, oh, she's like awkward. She's like, this isn't the win you think it is, Nicole. Julian goes out and he's like, let me tell you, my man, some women are bananas. Girls say horrible things to hurt you. And obviously Nicole had just said that. And he's like, and we say some things right back. And he's like trying to be like, look, I had this Ukrainian girlfriend. I made her my wife. And now we're like, took 6 years, but she had to give up a lot. And I had to, you know, change like one or two things. Just like how early I wake up or how late I wake up. Like not a big deal for me. I'm a man. But anyway, for you, you're going to have to change your whole life, as you know. And Olga wanted to go home, but she stayed. And then it's interesting because there's never a chance that Mahmoud tries to talk to Julian, but really he wants to get the fuck out. He's so uncomfortable. And I get it. I mean, at this moment, I get it. Listen, whatever happens from this moment on, we are not privy to like what happened where there's like domestic violence situations between him and her. Now, I will tell you this. The last I checked on those DV things, he had gone back to Egypt, I think. But on their Instagram, they're very much still together, like celebrating their anniversaries together. So, I mean, it's
toxic.
They might be the most toxic, one of the more toxic couples of now ever in the franchise.
Yeah. Wow. That's interesting. So the conversation with Julian is really, you know, Julian's really trying hard to get him to not give up on this relationship. Then Mahmoud goes back inside and he starts to look at his luggage like forlornly, like, what should I do? What's the plan? And then Julian is having a confessional. And all of a sudden we hear Nicole just like screaming in the background. And Julian just like stops and is just like waiting for the sound to stop so he can continue his talk to the camera. Cause I think really Julian at this point is like so happy to be in the middle of all of this. He's like, I am the international Mahmoud whisperer. I understand Nicole. Like I've done this process. Like I get what's going on here. So I'm going to step in and solve it. And so then she's like, well then pack your bags then. And in her confessional, she's like, well, I saw him looking at his suitcase and his luggage and I got upset. So the obvious thing for me to say was then just leave then.
But again, I didn't mean it.
Yeah. She's like, duh. Like, duh, I didn't mean that, but I said it. And I'm like, I would die. I don't know if this is part of me. And this is just the way I, just the trauma of my childhood, the trauma of everything. When you say something to me, you mean it. And so I have a hard time with people. Like, I have a hard time understanding what people are, what's happening. So for her to say, I didn't mean it, was very confusing for me. And then he gets everything ready and starts to leave. And she asks Julian to stop him. She's like, mm-hmm. Well, Julian, as though Julian is like all of a sudden her butler or some like help that, it, you know, needs to stop Mahmood from leaving because she can't. She can't. So then Julian follows him and is like, hey, man, I know you want some air. Do you want to just go out on the balcony? And Mahmood's like, no, I want to leave. And so it's just so much kerfuffle and hubbub after she's done these terrible. And let me tell you, Olga and drunk Leslie, silent.
Mm-hmm.
In the corner, awkward. They're in the corner like,
why'd you bring us here? Julian, thank God he's doing all the work. They hate this. It's so awkward. It's so cringy. Like, it's awkward across the way. It's horrible what she's done to him. It's horrible what she's put her friends in this position. What her plan was didn't work. And it's interesting because she doesn't even have the wherewithal to be like, you guys, I'm so sorry that I put you in this. And I know this is a really bad scene. And now we're just fighting in front of you. You're not doing it. And this isn't working. And I'm really in a state where I don't know what to do. And I made some bad choices. Like, yeah. Instead,
not what happened.
This Nicole is like 3.0. Nicole, did this happen to her in Egypt? Like, did he bring all of his friends over and his family? No. Did he call her names? And then did they, you know, like, did that all happen?
It was behind closed doors, as it should have been. Like, I mean, she had the brother-in-law's lovely wife there as like the mother who loved her. I mean, he was frustrated she couldn't light a pilot. Like, get the stove going. But like, I mean, it just didn't feel like it was the same at all. And she has caused this entire scene to embarrass him into changing his behavior. And he's like, not going to do it. And I'm 100% on his side. And I want him out of there. I want him out of there and I want him free of her. And it's really hard to watch, especially because it's literally been like, we've over two episodes now, we've watched maybe 2 hours of their life.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, the drive to like Los Feliz the first time, that was a good hour of their life.
That was long. It was definitely all the way down Santa Monica, then switch over to Fountain and then try to go there the rest of the way. And then you turn it to Sunset. It's a whole thing. So next couple that we're going to talk about is Rob and Sophie. I actually thought this was a fun scene because Rob is so stupid. Like, this further pushes the envelope, the point that Rob is so dumb. Why would anyone want to be with him? And now I judge Sophie very harshly.
Yeah, Sophie just got herself in a situation where she didn't know that how dumb her man was because she's 10 years younger than him, but he's so dumb. But I want to tell you that two things I took pictures of both their segments. A, to show you. So basically, she wakes up and he's like brought her breakfast in bed. And breakfast in bed is like bagel thins with like, I don't know, salmon on top, cream cheese. I'm not quite sure. And then like one of those like mozzarella balls that you would put like on a skewer with like a cherry tomato and like a basil leaf, and you do it again and again. It's like a, you know, caprese skewer, like that kind of cheese he puts the ring in. Now, she's not from where you're from, so she does not like cheese. She doesn't want the cheese curds. She doesn't want the sour cream and she does not like cheese. Yeah. She thinks it smells, which is exactly why I don't like fish. But anyway, so he puts the ring in there. Now she's wearing this two-piece tie-dye set. And when I saw it, I was like, oh, you'd love this.
Oh, it's two-piece tie-dye? Oh, no, that's when she's looking at the tarantulas. We're not there yet. She's wearing
this in bed.
She's wearing a silk, like, cream or white button-up short set with white socks. And I peeped all of that and I was like, oh, she's like laying back. Like she was like a fucking on a chaise lounge, but not. And she's just like,
yeah, full white wig on, like, you know, like, I mean, like Game of Thrones wig on, you know, like, Mother of Dragons.
A full face.
Well, yeah. I mean,
so we're supposed to think that she just woke up, breakfast in bed. He, out of a toolbox that's somewhere in his kitchen, some kind of utilitarian drawer. He pulls out this ring and he sticks it in the mozzarella ball. And he's like, this is really romantic. He's so stupid and so not romantic that he doesn't even know how to be romantic. In fact, he doesn't even know that he could just Google how to be romantic. So he puts that in there, knowing she doesn't like cheese, takes it up to her, gives it to her. And she's like, well, I guess it's the thought that counts. And this is where I fail as a human, because I don't care what the thought is. If it's not something that I want, I am ungrateful. So he hands it to her. She's like, oh, is this my ring? And then they have a small debate on whether or not it's the ring.
It's not the ring. He admits later. He's like, it's not really the ring.
So he then has made her feel bad for losing the ring. Then he pretends to have found it, and it's not the ring.
She calls it a fashion ring, which when she said it was a fashion ring, I was like,
oh, Claire's?
Yeah.
Or Claire's fashion.
Did you win it from skee-ball?
Yeah. Oh my God. It's it's a claw. It's a claw ring.
You're right.
Ah. Like, oh my gosh. And so then they have like a little tee-hee-hee about that. And she is trying to be on her best behavior because of the blow up. So now she's in a position where she has to deal with his shenanigans. And he's like, oh, well, we're just both ignoring everything that the elephant that's in the room, because we want to make things work because of the blow up from whatever, from Callum. And so then she changes into this little tie-dye two-piece set, which I thought was so cute on her. And he wants to show her all of his pet tarantulas because he likes animals.
Wait, side note is she's not wearing the wig right now. Look how much, she's not wearing the wig in this set. You're right. In the first scene, she was wearing a wig. She's not wearing a wig now.
Oh.
You can see her roots.
Yeah, you can see her roots. Yeah, she's doing some kind of clip-ins, though. I mean, but then, like, were you...
The tarantulas.
Listen, I have a question.
Yeah.
When you think of animals, what do you think?
Puppies.
Okay, great. And also, I don't know about the, like, kingdom, the phallus, or whatever the things
the
are.
The phallus?
Oh, no. You know, it's like the king, like... Okay. So, whenever I think of that, I'm like, are arachnids underneath that? Because... Ooh. Animals, I mean, yeah, but like, is it a, it's not a mammal. So what I guess when I think of animal, I think of the animal kingdom and then like mammalia. So then like, he's dumb, Chris. This is what I'm trying to get you to understand, that he's fucking stupid. He's like, oh, tarantulas live 25 years. So I figure I might as well. 25 years is an unnatural state for any insect arachnid to live. It's unfathomable. I don't want to know about it, and I'm upset that I now have this fun fact in my head.
You know who's also upset when he talks about the tarantulas? I gave it away. Look at her face. This is a still I took, and like her face when he's talking about them spiders, honey, is like the face that we know that she's had the entire time watching all of these episodes from the first season of them and back, being like, I can't believe A, that I wore that wig and how bad I looked, but also B, that I sat next to this tool and pretended to be in a relationship with him. Anyway, God bless.
I mean, it's so bad. A female tarantula can live 20 to 25 years, and a male tarantula only lives 7 to 8 years. I need them to live 7 to 8 days, maybe weeks. It is just so disgusting that this is what he was like trying to do. And I don't want to know anything about it. Anyways, so that happened. And she is like, he's really happy for her that she tried to pet his fucking spiders. And she's like, okay, we're trying to make it work. Me and Rob trying to make it work. And then we go to, we talk about her and her snails. So she had some kind of snail circus or whatnot.
Well, she wanted to save the snails. She's told a story how she'd wake up in the morning. It'd be so wet in London. Like the snails would come out in the morning. People would go on their like daily jog to work and just crush all the snails. So instead of being one of those kids like me that would be like, I wonder what happens if we put salt on a snail. She would gather all the snails. She made a snail sanctuary in her house, honey. I don't know. Claire, she had a lot of time, you know. I don't know what Claire was doing at the time, and I don't even want to think about it. I don't know what
Claire was doing. I know. So then she has dinner with Kay. Kay actually looks good to me. She looks pretty. And then we talk about the fact that these two youngins Haven't had sex in 6 months. I feel like if I'm in a, I don't get it because I've never been in a relationship that like, okay, great. You don't believe it. Okay.
No.
You don't believe it. Okay, great.
I don't believe it. There's not a chance. No, you can't be that. You just wouldn't stay around that long. There'd be conversations. We would have a conversation about it. Like, this isn't the first time. It would not be that we've been talking about all this shit this entire time and then not talking with the fact that they haven't fucked or consummated the relationship. But this starts to be like an interesting conversation where she's like, well, the reason why is because, well, yeah, like the night after our wedding, I was drunk and sick or whatever. But then he has started to increasingly require her to become now attractive to him enough to have sex by virtue of role playing. And Kay says like Halloween costumes, but then Sophie's like, it's like he watches too much porn and he wants to like recreate that. I'm like, is that costumes and role playing then? Or is that, I don't know. Like, listen, to me, in the year of our Lord 2024, if you're a man that like is addicted to porn and you have like a intense appetite for the menu that you see online, which is not a very normal menu, like role playing just seems a little like pedantic there, you know? Like, I don't think that he's like put on this French maid costume. I think he's probably like, you know, I want to be a sissy or something.
Oh,
I don't know.
I guess I was just like, maybe he wants her to, maybe he wants some kind of power dynamic where like she's like the, like some guy in power and she's some little like, some like unbeknownst babysitter. And so he wants her, he wants to feel powerful because I just can't imagine Rob with any amount of confidence. I think it's all fake. And I think that he knows he's a big giant loser with nothing to give this world. And I feel bad because he put his life on TV, but it's not entertaining to me. And all I want him to do is go away. So Sophie then reveals another half lie, half truth, where he didn't ask the right question. And so he didn't get the answer to the question that he wanted to. So he's like, have you ever been with a woman? And she's like, I've never been in a relationship with a woman. And he didn't follow up with him. No, I meant, have you ever had sex with a woman? Has a woman ever touched your poo-tanny? And have you ever touched her poo-tanny? And he didn't say that. And so therefore she then has wiggled out of telling him the truth. So that's going to be the next episode's drama, or, you know, who's going to say it? Kay, someone's going to like say it and it's going to cause some more drama. Speaking of drama, do you want to move on to Emily and Kobe?
Yeah, sure. Woo.
I mean, I first of all, she's pissed because of the timeline, and I hate timeline conversations because like, who cares? You got the man, he moved to Kansas, he's miserable, he's living with you in the basement and you have two children. So like, who cares about the timeline? But they sit downstairs in like the foyer or whatever, and she has a whole bottle of wine to herself. And I love the bottle of wine had a little like necktie on it to stop the drip of the wine. I thought that was cute. And he's resting his foot or his knee, and she tries to start talking to him about his ex and the timeline, and he doesn't believe her when she says, I didn't ask your boys about this. They volunteered this information because they want me to know how less than I am. That's basically the only reason you would bring up somebody who Kobe hasn't seen in over a year. That he, it is very, very crazy to me that they would do that. So he then gets pissed because he's like, where's this going? Why are you bringing this up? Why would my friends even talk about this? And she's like, because they're assholes. That's why. You don't know that?
You know, it's like one thing though, Kobe, I think should have been there for that conversation. And Kobe, when we get to the next scene, isn't doing the due diligence of husbandry that I think that Cameroonian husbands should do. So you're right. So she is like, she has this thing and his leg is you know, up, and she tells him what happened. He's like upset, you know, but like, and you know, he obviously was like, that girl, who are you going to believe, me or my friend? You know, like, I wasn't with that girl. So then they decide to take the whole family to an amusement park, and Emily's dad, David, cut his beard. Do you see that beard cut he got?
I didn't see it.
Oh my God, man got a beard cut. So then they go to amusement park, and they meet up with Kobe's friend, and her name is Valerie. She lived with him in China, was there the day that they met, you know, and remembers it being like, Kobe lifted up his shirt and he had this like six pack. And then I saw Emily, and Emily was like beautiful. And I was like, look at that hot girl. And he did. And boodle, here we are. Yeah. Valerie and him had like such a lovely, like really warm greeting. And it made me so happy because this thing happened where this is like a visceral moment, like, hi, hi. Both of them have little boys roughly the same age. Both people put down their little boys, and both little boys just like yep, okay, this is, it's us now. Like, you know, like you see both, like Coven like kind of goes up to him and like grabs his hand, like, you're my friend now for the day. Like, kids have this thing where they're little prisoners, you know, and wherever their parents go, they go, they just have to listen. And so it's funny when they get in the space of like another little prisoner victim, they're like, you know, so those moments of me are really funny. So they go to the amusement park. It's not Disneyland. Doesn't look like Disneyland, you know, like it's not an American amusement park. It just, it's like a little, yeah, it is actually, you know, it's so funny. Technically, there's amusements and it's a park. We have been overloaded with like what that means with like the pirates and the robotics and like, you know, the different worlds and all this stuff and the roller coasters. But, you know, these kids can't be on a roller coaster. They can't go on Space Mountain. They're tiny. You know, they're barely having fun on what looks like a very boring ride, you know, but yeah. they're babies, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's fun for them. It's like the children's section of Knott's Berry Farm. It's like, it's, mm-hmm. it works for them and their little bodies. And you know, so I'm glad they got the opportunity to do that. And Emily and, the girl have a conversation. She has a cute blonde short cut about like Cameroonian women. And I don't think that this Cameroonian woman is at all buying what's happening, but she's like, well, yeah, maybe you should, you know, try to get to know the friends more so that they can understand your relationship. She doesn't fully say, yeah, no, I'm super submissive to my husband. I don't talk to him at all when he's in front of his friends. Like, all I do is just bring over some tea and biscuits and I leave. And so I'm just like, I wanted her to say, yeah, no, we're very different here. You're so loud and boisterous. But she didn't say that. She just said, try to get to know the friends. Try to get to, you know, have them know you. And
she does call her bossy, though. She's like, you're bossy. She's like, bitch, come on. girl, you're bossy. Come on, you're bossy. You've been bossy. We all know you're bossy. You're bossing right now. You're like, and Emily has a moment of like, oh, am I? Should I? You know, and it's like, well, girl, if you feel like you are, that should have been like what you walked into the situation with. But she didn't. And she decided to have a conversation one on five with his friends without him, which I think that honestly, in my mind, I think Kobe was the one that was like, hey, Emily, just so you know, like, so the culture thing, like when people say there's a cultural divide or there's differences, one specific one is you probably just don't go talk to my friends without me. It's weird. Like, I wouldn't go talk to, like, you know, I wouldn't go talk to a bunch of your girlfriends without you. Cause I would think it's weird. Cause I'd be like, oh, I'll just take you. I mean, I don't know. You know,
I mean, it's a 90 day trope though, right? That's part of the 90 dayness of it all. Is that sure. The person does go and talk to the friends by themselves. There's always that moment. Except for Mahmoud and Nicole. I don't think she was allowed to go anywhere by herself. But normally it doesn't happen. So I thought that was interesting. So then the next scene is Emily attempting to show them how fun she is by having her titties out. Just out. Peplum. And I'm like, yeah. And a peplum. Yeah, you're right. Oh my God. It was the worst outfit. It was like she was trying to wear an outfit.
Was the worst.
Oh yeah, no, I thought it was awful.
She didn't do flattering.
She doesn't do her hair. I think that she just like there's just things that she needs to do. Like your style of hair can't be, it's long. I don't know.
I understand. I think that she does her hair kind of like Kalani does her hair, you know, just like leave it wild, you know. But this is a very interesting scene. So
wild.
The best. I think it's best. I think it's the best scene that we've had so far. Even though I liked the, when he had his like welcome thing. So yeah, this is where it gets weird. It's like she invites, it's like very much like, so I invited you to this nightclub. And I'm like, what do you mean you invited them to this nightclub? Like, why yeah. wouldn't Kobe have, why wouldn't Kobe have invited his friends mm-hmm. that are his friends to wherever you guys wanted to go or whatever? Like, why is it like, I'm invited, are you, was it like, Emily being like, I'm going to pay for everyone. No, the production is. So they're all sitting there. She comes in. I do like her outfit. And they immediately are like, this is fucking weird. This isn't it. Like, this isn't respectful. This isn't the way we do it. Like, we know where you're staying. You have a kitchen where you're staying. You should have invited us to a home and you should have cooked for us. And when they say that, Kobe says nothing. I mean, why? To me, that's the unforgivable part. Unforgivable part, because Emily is like, well, I don't have like we don't have like a house, but they're staying in the apartment. They're like, it's like if we were in America, I would have invited you over. And I'm like, why isn't Kobe being like, as a family, as the head of this family, this is what we did. You know, like I don't understand.
He did say he said something, so I feel like they cut it out. Because he says it's not really a house. It's a hotel. Like they try to say that it's you have a home. You have an apartment you're staying in with a kitchen, and he's like, no, it's not a house. It's a hotel. Like so, he tries to step in and say something. And so I was like, did they purposely cut out what he said? And so at this point, she's pissed. Because they're shitting all over what the fun time she's trying to show and like whatnot for no reason. For no reason, they're shitting on it. It's like really at this point rude. And the thing is though, for her to get so upset and be frustrated to that her voice isn't heard is such a, like, who cares about these people? She's going to go home and never have to see them ever again. So it's just so interesting that she is fighting this fight and making it so that it's awkward. I don't know. I think they're wrong. They're absolutely wrong. But I think her reaction is just, you know, it was great for TV. That's the truth.
For sure. I guess I wish that her reaction was, oh, I'm so sorry you don't like the choice my husband made. I will allow you and my husband, your friends, to really fight over the choices that he made. I wish if she had come to Kobe and was like, let's do something for your friends. I want them to know that I'm like fun. You plan it because you're the head of the household and they really want you to plan it. And I'll just show up and be a submissive wife and, you know, make you look good. But that's not what happened. She like, they're making it seem like she took a hold of the situation, planned to go to a nightclub with her and all these men, and none of them have wives or girlfriends they want to bring, which is awkward just to have him there and her, and then like them sitting there, and then they blame her. And Kobe doesn't get to like, Kobe is the one at fault at this point. At this point, in this moment, it's Kobe. Kobe mm-hmm. knew that he had a situation with a, you know, an outspoken American wife, friends that were like dismissive of that and like not happy. And he had a chance to remedy it. And when his wife was like, I have an idea, it's this nightclub thing. He then had a chance to be like, oh, babe, no, let's do this. Mm-hmm, or, mm-hmm. oh, babe, it's great. That's a great idea. Let me be the one to tell all my men that that's what we're going to do. That's what I'm doing. You know, like he should have taken it on, but he let her plan it, I guess. Let her say that she's inviting him, which alone, mm-hmm. I mean, as an Arab woman, Arab American woman, I get the idea of a grown wife would not pay for six men to mm-hmm. come to a club. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like it's not, she's not going to pick up the bill for all these men at a club. It's not what happens. This is what it is. Those men should be insulted at the idea of one wife of their friend paying for all of them. It should be insulting. Kobe should be the one. That's why. Kobe should be the one. Even if it was her idea, Kobe should be the one that's like, I invited you here. And she can just be like, mm-hmm, you did. It was my idea. But she keeps that to herself because why? Who cares? You're right. She doesn't care about these people. But instead, she gets upset. She leaves. And Kobe's just kind of sitting there twiddling his thumbs.
Yeah. And even I also thought she was weird for the idea that because the friends don't believe in their love, that they shouldn't come to the wedding. I was like, what an interesting take.
How are you going to like even judge everyone at your wedding believes in your love? Like at this wedding full of people you've never met before. Like some of them. Yeah. You're by the way, girl, just so you know, at this wedding, guaranteed
it's not for you.
99% of the people don't believe in your love. Just so you know.
It's not for you. This wedding is not for you. It is for Kobe. This is
Kobe's
wedding.
The last 4 years have been for you. Yeah.
Yeah. This is Kobe's wedding. Mm-hmm. Thrown by his people. Hopefully his people threw it and not her family. But like, just like, I don't know. Just, it was rough. It was a rough part. And I thought it was good and interesting. And I just was like, girl, why do you care? Okay. Patrick and Thais. I'm sick of Thais's father. I'm tired of that man. I am tired of him because I really do think of all the people and all the relationships and all the Brazilian women who come to America get snatched up by an American man. I think Patrick is the best choice.
Yes, I do too.
Especially when I saw the apartment that he had in Brazil, the one that she was able to like be have a good time in. I'm like, listen. Also, I want to know under what circumstances in which Patrick's mother met Patrick's dad. Because we've heard some story about Patrick's mother. And I'm like,
we've seen
this woman. Yeah, we've seen her. And she's had two or three kids before Patrick.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, how did they meet? How did this, I mean, he's obviously some kind of international jet setter. If he can go from Brazil to the US and then back to Brazil and own apartments and shit and be somebody who has money. And then he just had this like one lone child. And unless there's like a slew of children that he left behind, maybe he came to America for school, met the local bartender or the local bar fly, had sex with her, had Patrick, and then just like took absolute care of Patrick from Boston to Vegas.
I don't know if he took care of him, though. Like, Patrick's paying for this apartment. He's paying his dad rent. So I'm just saying, I don't know how much he monetarily had to take care of Patrick. Patrick, it feels like, has had some money for a second. But
when he was little. When he was little. That's what I mean.
Did he?
I don't know. That's why I want to know, like, what's going on. Yeah, yeah.
The way that Patrick says it is, like, he went to Brazil to meet his dad.
Oh.
So, but right now they're in America, they're packing this baby, it's the dog, you know, and then John a day later, and he has a Tesla, a white Tesla. They're all packed in the Tesla. They go to the
Why are they spending so much money? Why didn't they just take an Uber to the airport? Anyways, that's my thought.
Yeah, it depends. Yeah, I'm like, I mean, I thought the same thing. Maybe you're right. Because it costs a lot of money to just like sticker. I know. My dad always does it because I don't know. Anyway, because he doesn't know how to use an Uber. So basically, this is some interesting things. They're like, oh, we have to take a specific formula. You know, we don't know how to take it. It's going to look like drug smuggling. He's like, yeah, you know, why do they think that I'm a drug smuggler? Because of my fancy shirts. And I was like, Patrick, you don't have fancy shirts. Every time we see you, buddy, you're like in like a tank top. There's not one fancy shirt, maybe a polo I've ever seen you. I've never seen you. I mean, the polo is the fanciest shirt I've ever seen you wear. What are you talking about?
But he's so thick. Those arms that like his upper body, like his neck to belly is, I'd say neck to ankles. It's pretty good. I like the way he is built. He feels like he could pick me up. That's what I'm saying.
Yes. You and Thais both, you know, were into his body, and he was a weightlifter for a long time until, of course, he had gotten in trouble with some drugs, you know, that kind of helps with your physique. So, but they make it to Brazil with the baby and the dog, and everyone is in good spirits, and this is where they're in the car now, and he wants to know that he can like drive everywhere, and they have some quarrels over whether he has to yield or in fact stop at stop signs. She screams, so it makes it feel like I feel like she's right. She's right. Whatever she thinks is right.
Mm. I mean, maybe you're supposed to. I think that he's probably seen people not, and that's why he thought he could do that. Now, I think there's, you know, worthy to be cause for concern. There is a bebe in the car. That baby is quiet, though. So good for that baby. But then she calls her father on, I don't know, a laptop on something big, it feels like. And the father is like, oh, yeah, Patrick, that little bastard. And I'm like, And Patrick fully understood that, which I love for him. I love that he speaks Portuguese enough to be able to understand that shit, except for a stop sign. He didn't know that word. And then he's like, I don't understand why your dad is like saying all these things to me. And she doesn't say anything. Why doesn't? And it's not even his fault. It is her fault. She was the one that was so insistent on not telling the father. So insistent. She's the one who went to America under the guise of whatever fake guys she was going under there. Like, it is just a lot. And I just get mad at her for not defending Patrick, because I think that, you know, of all the guys she could have gotten, she got a good one.
I agree. And also Patrick, even in the first season, like, he always seemed like he wanted to do things right. And he says it, do things right by you. You know, like, mm-hmm, this, you know, he loves Thais, obviously. Like, he, you know, whenever Will Way, like, he really thought that Thais, it is, she's gorgeous. And when he found her, he just, like, fell in love. And he was like, I'll never do better. And he just, like, really was like, this is it. Fell in love with her and wanted to do things right. And she couldn't tell her dad. And so he felt awkward by that. And so because she didn't tell her dad, when he finally asked for a blessing, he didn't get it, but that didn't stop them. You know, they got married and everything like that. And now she's like, you need to go in real life and ask for a blessing. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
We're, you know, it's a little bit like Kobe and Emily, where it's like, okay, but we're, you know, obviously already married. So like, if he doesn't give it, what? And she's like, she has a moment where she's like, if he doesn't give the blessing, I'm afraid it's going to change the relationship with me and my dad. I'm like, well, we are barely going to see him, honey.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Your life is in America now. Like, go ahead and let's give all that up. Yeah. I was very annoying. Very annoyed. Well, I think that's it. We're not talking about the other two couples. So great. And scene.
Yeah, I just want to say, the Alexi Lawrence situation, it's like, they've never been interesting ever. And as you know, TLC doesn't pay us to recap these things. And so we have no allegiance to having to like talk about every single person we want to talk about or not want to talk about. And, you know, with Alexi and Lauren, they are incredibly boring. And I went to her Instagram page and she is just promoting being a Temu partner, the Temu, which is like a cheaper form of like Amazon, like T-E-M-U. You can buy things for like negative cents. I mean, they're like, it's literally sweatshop labor. It's like, it's everything horrible. So when I saw that, I was like, I don't want to support you. I can tell by your Instagram that your trajectory in this world isn't to like provide either love, laughter, or light. You are, the choices you're making, I'm not going to be behind. So anyway, no thanks. And having said that, you're not going to miss much. I mean, who cares about a mommy makeover? I'll tell you right now, her and being like, I need it so bad. And all her friends be like, you don't, is like absolutely not watchable. And so if you're listening to this, Matt Sharp, that's not watchable television and we're not going to fucking deal with it.
That, and like, if she wants a mommy makeover, let her have it. They all act like she's going to die or something. Like, I just am like, that's what the girl wants, because she's wearing all of her shirts tucked into high-waisted jean shorts. Then let her have it. I don't understand why this is a topic of like discussion. And it's just like, girl, okay. Anyways,
she's only on this. I think she's only on the season to get it paid for.
That makes sense.
Okay.
All right, you guys. So thank you so much for joining us. If you would like to see the visuals of what you're listening to, you can join us on patreon.com/docusweeties for $10 a month. You get exclusive goodies like a live every first Monday of the month, the episode when we can drop it to Patreon, the visuals as soon as we can, and other stuff. So if you're interested in that, join us on patreon.com/docusweeties, $10 a month. But if you can't do that, Chris will tell you what you can do to support us. Chris?
Oh, you can follow us on all the social medias. You can follow us on Instagram at docusweeties, on TikTok at DocuSweeties, on X at DocuSweeties1. We have a Facebook group, the DocuSweeties podcast Facebook group. I don't know why I can't ever remember the name of this. It's the most basic name of a Facebook group. And yet every time it comes, I'm like, what is it fucking called? I think it's because I have other ones. Like, I want to say Vanity Fair or something like that. I'm not quite sure. Anyway, I love you guys. If you haven't yet, consider giving us 5 stars. We're keeping it real. We're keeping it real, honey. And guess what? Guess what? Your mm-hmm. girls, we're about to fucking talk about the new season of Love in Paradise. Mm-hmm. The new season.
Mm-hmm. So of love and paradise.
Yeah, we need you. We need your five stars. We need your like helpful reviews. We need you to share. But at the same time, we also want to thank you for being here and listening to us and hearing the sickness in my voice and not throwing up.
There's no sickness. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.